Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Ken, this program airs all across the country. It airs at many, many different times. But our flagship station is downtown Indianapolis, WIBC. On what date?
This weekend, February 2nd.
February. You know, I've been reviewing some data.
You've been Googling people again?
I've been stalking. as opposed to me waking up and seeing it on my phone
right.
The day before, you know, my wonderful marketing director, Ashley, has pointed out that Saturday would be your birthday. Now, you are a lucky young man.
Why is that?
Because I am tone deaf, and therefore I will not embarrass myself so that yourself is not embarrassed
Good.
By singing happy birthday.
It saves us both the embarrassment, huh?
we will just get around it. So I hope you have an outstanding day. It is always fun having you on the show and getting to see you on the days when we record these. And I hope it is adding to your financial education.
It is. I'm learning a lot, Joe.
Yep. We're going to start having quizzes.
Uh-oh.
I mean, tests. So if you haven't been listening to the show for a while, we made a couple changes. First, my podcast had to get changed from Consider This with Big Joe Clark to Consider This Program. We had some technical difficulties at iTunes. So if you're a podcast listener, we have many of them. Please go and subscribe to Consider This Program. You do get a few other podcasts every now and then that are added, as well as some things that we can upload there that we can't put on secular radio, obviously, like notes that you can download, stuff of that nature. Many of you will remember my brother John, who used to be on the radio with me. We're going to start doing some long-distance podcasting together on it, just on some things that are a little bit shorter but are perhaps more relevant. Secondly, the last conversation that we have is one where we really sum up the other four main conversations. So if you happen to miss one and you want a summary, you can go there to try to get some good insight, good information. Today, we're going to talk about your shopping list. If you're going to buy an annuity, if you're going to buy a life insurance policy, here is your shopping list of questions that the agent or salesperson should be able to answer on the spot, not later. They shouldn't be able to go back and come back and have it filled out. They should be able to address it all right then. We'll provide that shopping list for you if you would like it. Taxes today and tomorrow, we're going to talk about understanding the implications of if you pull it out today, if you need it tomorrow, and what happens when you retire and eventually die, the difficulties of the loss of a spouse, and then what happens to Social Security when one of the two of you are gone. So much to talk about. Don't forget to go to the website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Get signed up for the Market Carver and send us your questions. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. Ken and I will take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. You know, it's okay to say if you've checked off all the details, Ken, and you've asked yourselves the right questions.
Of course.
But you have to know the questions to ask.
So true.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to the grocery store while you're hungry?
Oh, all the time. That's a big mistake.
What happens?
You buy a lot of junk food and things you crave right there, and on the way home you open up a bag of Cheetos or something and eat half the bag.
You buy more than what you should, buy things you shouldn't have.
Correct.
And in my case, I buy things that can never possibly survive long enough for them to actually be used. Because if I'm hungry, the cart is full. Have you ever gone to the grocery store to get stuff for a recipe and not had the recipe with you and forgot something?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to us all of the time. And it's just part of it. But the point to me, I told somebody the other day and tried to remind them that in our industry, in the financial services world, 94% of the people sell products. 6% of us in Indiana are fiduciaries that are in the financial services world. So just to remind you as the listener, as a fiduciary, I have to treat your money as if it were my money and we were in the same situation. Under suitability, the government gives me some regulations and I have to make sure that it is suitable for Ken. Now, Ken, or for you, the listener, when you hear that, what does suitability come from? And it typically comes from your age. It typically comes from your asset base, right? And it typically comes from some questions about risk that you're supposed to answer. Now, I understand you can't come up with all of the variables in life to put in a box for suitability, but there's a lot more to life than just those three things. I've got a 70-year-old friend that has an 18-month-old child. Right, you can't look at him as a 70-year-old, nor would you ever know that he was 70. He looks closer to 50 than he does 70. But an 18-month-old child at 70 brings on its own little set of things. Right, my point is, in every relationship, there is a fiduciary, and if you're not working with a fiduciary, if you're working at a wirehouse or with somebody who sells stuff, you are your own fiduciary. So you go to the grocery store and you're getting ready to make a purchase and you've got to ask yourself some questions. When, you know, I'm on this keto diet, day 27 or 28, I think is the time of this recording, right? I have to ask myself, what are the carbs? What are the net carbs? How much protein? How much fat? And how many total calories, right? I've got to know the ingredients. And if you're going to be your own fiduciary, you're kind of like being a grocery shopper, right? You want to know what is in that package and what questions you should ask. Now, fortunately, we have the FDA and other regulatory bodies that force them to tell me what's in the food. You know, it helped over the weekend to go out to eat, and the amount of calories, well, it was sort of helpful. You know, the amount of calories next to it, it's kind of like, really? Do I need, you know, okay, Barb, we'll split this, right? Because, you know, that way it's not, you know, you can eat a whole day's calories and like the appetizer made you if you're not careful in terms of what's going on. But as your own fiduciary, before you buy a product, there are some questions that you need to know about that you need to ask. And you're going to find yourselves in situations where things sound great and you like, you may even like, and you may even know the salesperson that's asking you to buy something. And I know it can be hard to say no. I'm going to suggest you use some principles. Now, in my world, Ken, we have the fiduciary focus. You've heard me talk about it a lot. I bet you sleep thinking about the fiduciary focus. But it's a checklist. We're checklist-driven people.
Of course we are.
And so when I wake up in the morning to be a fiduciary for the 900-plus families that we take care of, just like you listening to the show today, when I wake up as your fiduciary, I am thinking about risk and volatility, the amount of the market going up and down and what's happening, fees and expenses. I'm thinking about taxes both today and tomorrow, and I'm thinking about real return. So what questions, if your neighbor boy knocks on the door and says, Mr. Dilger, I'd like to talk to you about buying life insurance, or somebody at your church shows up and says, you know, Ken, we've known each other for a long time. I'd like to, you know, your retirement is at risk because of the stock market. There's a lot of volatility there. I would like to talk to you about an annuity. Right. And sometimes, as I said, it's hard to say no in various situations. Right. And so it's easy for me to be able to say no for people. We have people who call and say, Joe, will you review this insurance product before I say yes? And I'll absolutely, we're happy to help you do that. And the majority of the time, I will tell you, people end up not buying the product, not because I said something bad about the guy selling it, but because I illuminated things that you were unaware of. Right. So under risk and volatility, let's say somebody is going to sell you a we'll start the whole life insurance policy. Right. They're pretty straightforward. Right. Is there any risk and volatility in a whole life insurance policy?
I would say yes,
there is. And where does it come from?
the market?
Comes from the dividends. When you hear the word whole life, it's typically not invested in the market.
Okay.
You've got guaranteed cash value, so you know what the guaranteed cash value would be if you were going to trade it in for the life insurance. But the dividends that they pay actually are part of the profitability of the company and can go up and down based on how well the company does. So there's a little bit of risk and volatility. The fees and expenses on whole life are very straightforward. Here's the premium, and we know what your guaranteed cash is. And if we're profitable, you're also going to get dividends. And if you die, we're going to give your wife a check. Right? What are the tax implications? Well, life insurance is a beautiful thing in that respect. It functions under what we call FIFO, first in, first out. So if you pull money out of a life insurance policy, you don't have to worry about there being growth. The taxes, when you go to pull the money out, are actually tax-free up to what we would call your basis, what you put in. But see, what we're doing here is we're thinking about what that taxation looks like later on, right? People tend to make decisions for today. Right. And you're going to hear me talk about this a couple times, but we walk up to the food line. Right. And there's this beautiful, warm fudge brownie with vanilla ice cream right next to it.
Don't do it, Joe.
And about 14 inches apart from it is this boring green looking broccoli. Right. Now, we all know that for most of us, that brownie is what we want right then. And I understand it. I'm with you. But we also know if we make the decision for that every day and not the broccoli, bad things are going to happen.
Correct.
Right? And that's why you have to have a checklist and understand how some of these processes work. When you get into an annuity and you go through that checklist, when you can answer all of the questions about risk and volatility, fees and expenses, taxes today and tomorrow, and real return, in other words, how it comes out with inflation, if you can answer what deferred means and what that deferral schedule is, and if you can understand what an M&E expense is, and you can understand what the rider charges are, and then you can get into not just the known fee, but the true underlying genuine expenses of running the separate accounts in a variable annuity or in an indexed annuity or an indexed universal life. If you can answer all of those questions, then I would say you've got your shopping list put together and you know what you're up against when you're out there. But when I talk to many people who've already bought these products, they were told things about taxes on down the road that weren't accurate, or at least their recollection, it wasn't accurate. And the problem is the salesman spent the money and is long gone. Folks, you need a shopping list. If it's something we can help you with, give us a call. Go to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. Remember, if you want to take care of it on your own, that's your business. If you're looking for a fiduciary, that's our business. 800-928-4001. We'll be right back. Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are happy to have you along. You know, we talked in the last conversation, Ken, about the concept of the checklist of knowing what you're doing. And there seems to be a lot of confusion. And I don't want to put you on the spot. If you're new to the program, if you're new to Consider This program, and remember, that's the name of the podcast. You want to go there and subscribe. You'll get more things than just the show, including, for those of you that were fans of my brother, John, we're bringing him back for some shorter podcasts during the course of the week so that you'll have a mixture that you won't get on the radio. So go to wherever you subscribe for podcasts, Consider This program, right? That's one of the things we're talking about. But in the last program, we talked about the fiduciary focus, the risk and volatility, fees and expenses, taxes today and tomorrow, and real return. And I don't want to put Ken on the spot, but his job is to be the average Joe, right? So if he knows this, it means he's been learning. And if he doesn't know it, then that means I need to explain it better. So, Ken, when I say...
You got a 50-50 shot,
there
Joe.
We go. Yeah, that's good. Those are good numbers.
Well, yeah.
Those are good numbers. So when I say that taxes are a journey or taxes today and tomorrow, what do you suppose I mean by that?
Well, I would assume you're thinking about, are my taxes being paid today? Are they being paid tomorrow?
So you're,
tomorrow
you're,
means in the future when you either take a disbursement from a fund that you're dealing with or you pay now.
So
or will you pay into an account, what are your taxes doing?
Right. So if we're talking about a Roth, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Correct.
Are we talking about paying taxes today or are we talking about paying taxes later on? When I talk about the tax journey, what I'm really trying to keep people aware of is that many things happen in life, right? We can sit down and we can talk about the possibility of something happening where we need to pull money out of an account or, you know, make some shifts one way or the other along the way. We can talk about those things. They're not probable that they will occur today, but they are quite possible that they will happen along the way. And so when we look at people's finances, when we sit down and look at your stuff, and we're going to go back, the team here at the Financial Enhancement Group will help you go back and recognize not just what you own from an investment perspective, but we want you to understand how much of your money is going to be taxed in different categories and when it's going to be taxed. That's really that tax journey. So if you go back to that conversation that we had right before this one, where we were talking about going to the grocery store with the recipe and looking at the different ingredients, but at the end of the day, that real conversation is about, here's the things before you buy an annuity. Here's the things before you buy an insurance product. In fact, here's the things before you buy anything. Here are the questions that you should be asking. Here is your shopping list. And one of those is, how is this taxed? But it's, how is it taxed today? How is it taxed along the way? And how is it taxed tomorrow? And so you've heard me, Ken, use the word tax diversification. And that means there's essentially three categories of taxation. There is stuff that's tax deferred. That means that means I'm going to pay taxes on it later into the future, if not me, my beneficiaries. There is tax-free. That's money that I don't have to pay any income tax on when I go to use it or along the way. That's typically a Roth. Could be a Roth IRA, could be a Roth 401k. And then there's the taxes of money that I've just got in an account growing. All right? So let's start there. You know, you've got a trust account. Somebody has left you money, you've inherited money, not an IRA, but you've inherited money or you've saved money. And let's say that you have, inside of your, what we would call your retail account, you have a stock, right? And that stock may or may not pay dividends. Dividends are taxed in their own special way. And they're taxed the same way for right now as a long-term capital gain, but you're going to pay taxes on them, which means they're not taxed as high as your marginal rate may be. And in fact, they could be tax-free depending on where you are in the scheme of things, but they're going to be taxed along the way. If you sell some of that stock, you will either have a capital gain because it went up in value, or you'll have a capital loss because it went down in value. But you have no penalty to turn around and decide that you want to sell it tomorrow or 2 years from now or 10 years from now. There's no age that says, Ken, you have to sell this stock. There's no age that says, Ken, you're going to have a defined distribution that you're going to have to begin to take that money out. That's your call when you use it. So it's great money to be able to use for the things that you didn't expect to occur along the way. It's great for things that are the charitable gifting and stuff like that that you may want to, you know, be able to use and maneuver along the way. Buy a house.
Of
right?
course.
Give your money, give your friend Joe money for a down payment for his house, right? This just suggestions, Ken. Just suggest, yeah, just try it. Okay. Right? And then the tax-free money. And I just had a very bright gentleman this week come in. And two things on this. It is very easy to get confused in some of this stuff. But let's think about an inherited IRA. In an inherited IRA, you can indeed use those for qualified charitable distributions, for QCDs, one of the things that we talk about in Better Giving, but you have to still be over 70 and a half as the beneficiary to use them. So it's very easy to get confused. Some of these laws are complicated, and part of our job at the Financial Enhancement Group is to make sure you aren't confused. So we had a gentleman come in this week that has 74, 75 years old, as swift as all get out, fully aware of what's going on. And one of the things that he said in the conversation is an easily misunderstood thing, but he missed part of the fine print. And when you're over 59 and a half, There is no five-year rule that you have to deal with on a Roth IRA, not for conversions, not for contributions, right? There, it's 59 and a half is the dead flat rule. Once you're there, all bets are off. But it's easy to get confused, right? So anyhow, you want to have money that's tax-free, that's after tax or retail, money that's tax-free. You're never going to pay taxes on that. If it's in a Roth IRA or Roth 401k, you don't even have required minimum distributions out of a Roth IRA. We'll roll your Roth 401k into a Roth IRA when you separate from service, so you have no required minimum distributions there at all. Your beneficiary, other than your spouse, would have an RMD out of your Roth accounts, but they don't have to pay any taxes on it. And then last but not least is the tax-deferred money. You're not going to pay taxes on it along the way, but when you go to pull it out, and believe me, if you have a 401k or an IRA, you are going to have a defined distribution. It's called a defined contribution going in, but it becomes a defined benefit, defined distribution coming out. Even if you don't elect to pull it out at 70 and a half, that money is leaving accounts in your IRAs at all times. If you don't own part of the company and you're still working, you can defer the 401k part, you know, but those rules do change all the time. Key thing is, in that IRA and 401k, that money, Ken, is going to be taxed at your marginal rate. So when you retire, when you go to your life after work, right, you've got the money that's coming in from your pension, the money that's coming in from Social Security, those are mailbox checks, and suddenly at 70 and a half, I've got to start giving you more money from your IRA. And it's going to be taxed at a rate much higher than you might think. What really happens when people put money into IRAs and 401ks when they go to pull it out? So stick around for the next conversation for that. If you want to get signed up for our critical decisions that will impact your retirement webinar, give us a call, 800-928-4001, or you can always go to the website at yourlifeafterwork.com to let us know you're interested. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Welcome to Consider This Program. Ken, have you ever bought a movie ticket or football ticket or something like that, and the other person didn't show up?
No.
Really? You've never had that? You've never been no-showed? Nobody's ever gotten sick or...
Well, I have for lunch and other appointments like that, but for a big ticket item like that, no.
They just show up with the flu and cough all over you? Fortunately, in my case, sometimes people have said no. But the point is, you can usually, you know, you've got choices when somebody doesn't show up, right? You can either, well, I'm just not going to go, you know, or I put it out and say, hey, you want to go see the opening of this movie or the opening of that? Usually somebody else will happily take their space and fill the time. There is a minor problem at retirement time. And it's not minor. I should in no way, shape, or form try to diminish this, but it is the loss of a spouse. Now, the bad news is that could be you, or it could be your wife, or it could be your husband if you are the wife, right? Depending on who's listening to the show. Bottom line is the loss of a spouse is one of the most frustrating things that happens in people's lives. You've just lost your partner. The last thing we want to do is make it even more complex by the finances changing at home. But that is pretty much what happens. So I want to walk you through one of my observations after 31 years of being in the industry. It's what I call the 70-70-70 rule. So part of this, Ken, you have to understand how your taxes work. And so we've talked about this on the show before, that it's a series of stair steps. And so you and I, after our standard or itemized deductions, you and I both have some money that's taxed at 10%. Me, you, Warren Buffett, you know, we all do. And then we take a stair step up, and it goes from the 10% bracket to the 12% bracket, so a 20% jump. And we have some money that's taxed there. And when people come in to see us, my planning team, Grant, Dean, Jamie, Aaron, we tend to be able to help to get most people in Central Indiana into that 12% bracket, which is a magical, magical thing. Because, Ken, that next step is to go up to the 22% bracket. And that's a big jump from 12% to 22. Some people say, you know, well, that's only 10%. It's almost double what you were paying in taxes before. but those stair steps keep getting higher and higher and higher. Now, the amount that you pay on that each of those stair steps is based on your income. But can you and I do something today, and we both put money in our 401k plans, but Ken and I are both married filing jointly. That means we have a spouse. And what we have witnessed is that 70% of the money that goes into IRAs and 401ks and 403bs if you're a teacher, 70% of that money goes in while we're married filing jointly, meaning that we get the biggest tax breaks because we're married along the way when we're doing that saving. The amount of money that we can make and be in the 12% bracket married filing jointly is much greater than what happens for a single person, for instance. 70%, this is the second 70% of the money that's in IRAs and 401ks is not touched until you are forced to go through a defined distribution. And it's called a required minimum distribution. You have spent your life putting money into accounts. You've spent your life watching and nurturing those accounts as they were able to grow and to get to where you wanted them to be. And then suddenly the IRS tells you, Ken, now you have to distribute. Now you're going to enter a defined distribution. By defined, I mean they're even going to tell you the minimum amount that you can take. They are in complete charge. You're kind of partners with the IRS, but they've got all the votes. All right? That defined distribution is a very expensive thing on your tax return when it's money that you don't need. But what's worse is 70% of the money comes out after one of the spouses has passed away. Now you're no longer married filing jointly. Now you're filing your taxes as an individual, as a widow or widower. And we even call it the widow penalty, or widower penalty. We had a situation, Ken, in here about 4 years ago where a lady's husband passed away. You know, it's going to happen. God's going to call us all home. He died, and the amount of money that she had to pay in taxes the next year went up by 53% because her spouse passed away. So when we talk about this, go back to the very first conversation, and we were talking about that shopping list. When I said you are your own fiduciary, if you're working with somebody who's selling you products, you are your own fiduciary. You may believe they have your best interest at heart. They may believe that they have your best interest at heart, right? Everybody may believe that. And you can work with people and should work with people that you like and trust. But you still don't ask your dentist to be a neurosurgeon, right? You still want to make sure that they're qualified. And you want to make sure when you go into a conversation, it's a safety valve, right? When I go to the grocery store, I have a shopping list. That way I don't buy stuff that I shouldn't buy. I have a process that says, hey, I want to check the calories, the carbs, the protein, and the fat grams so that I know what's going into my body, so that I have a chance of living to be a ripe old age if that's in God's plan. And that's the strategy. And if you're going to buy a product, when you look at these things, you need to ask that question. It is not probable that my wife of 31 years will die today. That is not probable. But it is more than probable that one of us will die first, and one of us will still have assets that are left, and we need to know how those critters are taxed, how that money gets out. And so I would strongly challenge you, as you look at your checklist, make sure you go down that fiduciary focus. You ask yourself, when I buy this product, how much risk and volatility am I accepting? And remember, they're two different things, right? Risk is me not getting my money back at all, right? It's giving Ken money to buy a house and then not coming back at all, right? It's volatility. It means that the value goes up and down all the time. And one of the funny things in life financially, folks, is most things are more volatile than we know. You know, the value of my house goes up every time a new family comes into the neighborhood looking for a house that's just like mine. And when they turn around and leave to go to another neighborhood, the value just went down. It's just I don't have a CNBC to tell me every 30 seconds what the value of my house was, right? Risk and volatility. The second, you thoroughly want to understand fees and expenses. But the fees are the things that are known And some of those known things are stealth, Ken. That means they come out, but you don't see them. They're still in the fine print. They still tell you they're coming. It's just not fees that you know. And when you look at some of these annuity products and you break down the checklist on fees, oh my. Then you have the riders. And then you get into other known fees, the mortality expense. But then you get into the unknown, or what I like to call expenses. And that's that some of the trading cost and things that it takes to keep the policy functioning or the investments working. But when you get into the taxes, you got to really think about when am I going to likely need this money? And what if I need it in an emergency? How am I taxed? What if I need it along the way? How am I taxed? When I take it out at retirement, how am I taxed? What happens to my beneficiaries when I die? How's it taxed? You've got to know those questions up front. Build your checklist, my friends, and take care of yourself while you're both still here and you have decisions and choices you can make. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot me an email. ConsiderThis@yourlifeafterwork.com. Ken and I'll take a break. We'll be right back. Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are very, very happy to have you along. Hey, if you're new to the show, Consider This program is about one very basic thing. It's looking at the world of finance and trying to help you uncover things that you need to consider before you go out into the world. And sadly enough, we have they have biases. You know, I had somebody the other day remind me that nobody's going to care about their money as much as they do. And I know how accurate that sounds. And I know that it's there. I also know the painter's house is the last one painted. and you would be amazed the level that we go to squeeze out pennies, because when you have 400 million pennies, it's a lot more than having $1, right? And you treat them a little bit different. But it is true. I mean, we are very interested in ourselves. And one of the challenges inside of the financial services industry is one way or another, that means me also, gets paid for the amount of assets that you have inside of the processes we use. Right. So for the 94% of financial people in Indiana that sell things, they make a bigger commission if you invest a higher number dollar, whether that be mutual funds, annuities, or life insurance. In my case, I manage money. If your account has more money in it, I tend to get paid more than if it has less. That's just the way it works. If the market goes up, I get paid more. If the market goes down, I get paid less. So we're in the deal together. Right? It's just the way that it works. Now, the reason I bring that up is I went through this show today. I tried to talk to you about your checklist. So if you missed the beginning, remember you can always do one of two things. You can go to our podcast at Consider This Program and you can download the show and listen to it there. The second thing you can do is go to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com, where the radio show is always put up there so you can go back and look at it. But what we talked about, Ken, when we went through the first thing, is what is the hazard, Ken, of going to the grocery store without a shopping list?
You buy a lot of unnecessary things.
And what if you have no shopping list and you're hungry?
You buy a lot of bad stuff.
You really get a bunch of bad stuff in it. And it's so easy in our world to get caught up with dealing with people that we like and trust, and we presume they know. If somebody tells you they know something, you assume they know something.
Correct.
Right? I mean, it's just how it is. But Ken, when your buddy tells you that your elbow's okay, do you still go see a doctor?
Depends what your buddy is.
If he works at CIO, okay. Well, then that's a different story, right? But the bottom line is, it's not just because you like them and trust them, and it's not just because they say they know what they're doing. You want to know that they know what they're doing,
true.
Right?
So true.
And you've got to build defense mechanisms around people in your world that you like getting you to do things that aren't good for you, right? And so we build checklists in here that we have for every one of our processes. I'm more than happy to share it with you guys on this one. If you're going to buy an annuity as a fiduciary, here are the things that I would demand to know. Here, this is the checklist, and if your buddy that's trying to tell you about your elbow, right, if your buddy can't answer these questions, then he shouldn't be selling you an annuity. And he shouldn't be the one, you shouldn't be allowing yourself to say, well, he can go back and do the research and come back and have the answer. Because if he didn't already have the answer, he shouldn't have been selling you the product, because those things should be considered, right? I will 100% agree that there are people that are out there that intend to have your best interest at heart. The challenge is, I'm not sure they always know the ins and outs of the things that they're working with. So know your product. Most importantly, Ken, we want to know what's going to happen in our taxes tomorrow, right? So we talked about that marginal rate, mm-hmm. right? Remember, when you go to explain to your daughter tonight how her taxes are going to work, you're going to talk to her about stair steps, right? And honey, this is how you're going to be taxed. And when you get married to a billionaire, this is what's going to happen to your taxes then, right?
Yeah.
And you're never going to qualify for a Roth IRA ever, ever again. So when you have earned income this year at your young age, we want to be putting that money in a Roth, because hopefully later in life, you're going to be making so much money that you're not allowed to use a Roth, right? But you want to be thinking about those taxes both today and tomorrow, understanding that we're on a journey. That was really in the second conversation that we had. The third one is one that's really close to our heart here at the Financial Enhancement Group. In 31 years of being in this industry, Ken, I have never seen anything that's likely to separate you from your retirement as the Internal Revenue Service. And it's not that they're bad people. We need roads. We need bridges. We need an army. We need all sorts of wonderful things that are provided by the government. But the problem is, it's the lack of understanding. It's making what feels like a good decision today, right, versus what happens over the long run. So when you and Ken and I talked about it in the conversation, we talked about walking up to MCL's line, and there's this big warm fudge brownie that you can smell because they pipe that smell into the air. You can see the vanilla bean ice cream right next to it, and 14 inches away is the broccoli. Right? And you've got to make a decision, because most people aren't going to buy both. It's just, it doesn't happen.
Definitely not.
It doesn't happen
on
the other. It doesn't happen on the same trip, right? And you've got to recognize that, you know, you can eat the brownie every now and then, but the majority of time it's in your best interest to take the broccoli. Deferring taxes, putting money in a 401k that's deferred, feels good today. It's like eating the cake. The problem is, at the end of the line, you're going to have a bunch of money that's tax deferred. You're not going to be able to control what happens, and then you're in trouble. And then we went into the third conversation, which is really difficult. It's the loss of a spouse. We lost quite a few spouses this year at the Financial Enhancement Group. You know, when you've done this for as long as we have, it's going to happen. I get that. But it's really hard to watch the emotional impact that takes place on people's families. And then that's combined with the difficulty of the financial world. And you don't need that in your life, especially when you're thinking about it from being a tax issue or a tax standpoint that goes along with it. And then we parlayed ourselves into fourth conversation, where we talked about what happens to Social Security when one of you dies. I mean, Social Security really is a multi-term decision. It's, Ken, when do you take it? How long do you delay it? And what happens when you're gone? And what we talked about in this one is really that what happens when you're gone issue. How do we take this and look at it? How much money is my spouse going to be able to get when I'm gone? How does it affect the marginal tax rate? What are things that we should be considering? And I didn't say this in that segment, but I want to throw this out one more time. Conventional financial wisdom that I hear all of the time is, if your spouse dies, don't do anything with money for 6 months. And people tell you that because too many people are sold things in a bad state of mind. Go back to the shopping list in the beginning, and they get taken advantage of. The problem is, that year that your spouse dies is your last year to be married filing jointly. You get to use it that whole year. Do not blow that opportunity. Hey, you've been listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. Consider This at yourlifeafterwork.com. Give us a call, 800-928-4001. Have a great week, my friends. yourlifeafterwork.com.